How many people have their Bible today? All right, you may be seated. Do want to make an announcement about Children's Church before we get started. If your child has not started kindergarten, then they can go up to Children's Church. If they have, then we want them to be able to be in here. We have little notes out there that they can be able to fill out. We've got children's sermon notes that they can use, and you need to be able to prepare them to be able to sit in church in the same way that they sit in school. So we've got little sermon notes they can follow along with all those things. But if they have not started kindergarten, they can go to Children's Church. And we praise God for those that are volunteering in Children's Church. So you have your Bible. And today I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, and the book of Hosea chapter 10. Matthew 13 and Hosea chapter 10. You probably know where Matthew is. It's the beginning of the New Testament, but Hosea, it's going to be a book in the Old Testament. It's after the book of Daniel. You have Ezekiel, then Daniel, then Hosea, and then after Hosea, you have the book of Joel. So you'll find Hosea in the Old Testament. When you find your place, say, I have it. Let me ask you a question to begin with. How many people here would like to have a productive, fruitful life? If you would, please say amen.
Amen.
A productive, fruitful life. That means that your life bears fruit. Now, some people have a different opinion of fruit. They think some is success, some think it's money, some think it's fame, some think it's just friends or acclaim. But a fruitful life for a Christian means that you're bearing fruit. Spiritual fruit, fruit for God. You're making a difference in this world. In other words, you're not just passing through, you're touching lives and God's blessing you. Now, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you sit here today as a Christian, then realize that God saved you not just to get you into heaven and get you out of hell. He saved you. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you and gave you an opportunity to accept what Jesus did, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, use the blood of Jesus to cover your sins so that you can go to heaven. But you're not supposed to just say, okay, I've got my salvation, I believe I'm going to heaven. You're supposed to make a difference in this world. Now, here's the thing. God says if you go out and you bear fruit and you're making a difference in this world, He'll let a peace come upon you. He'll let the blessings come upon you because God wants to reward those that are faithful to Him. So He's asking you to do something, but He's telling you that, hey, I'm going to let you live in this world and have a happiness, a peace. Not saying you won't have any problems, but that you'll have a peace through it. And I see today that a lot of people, a lot of Christians are on their way to heaven, but they're so caught up in the things, the schedules, the agendas, everything that's going on here, their goals, their direction. And our destination will... Our destination is just somewhere that we hope to be, and somewhere in between we find ourselves stuck in life, even as Christians, being discontent, almost sometimes disoriented, troubled, always seeming like it's turmoil, no peace, worrying all the time, consumed, if you will, by our daily schedules, always using that stress word in our mind, saying we're stressed with this, we're stressed with that, but far from it, being happy and peaceful and enjoying what God's given us. Jesus spoke a parable in Matthew 13, and you know what this parable is. And I want to use this parable today, and I do want to let you know that usually once a year, I have the opportunity to preach a sermon that relates to something in the garden. And I enjoy being in my garden. That's my hobby. It's my release. I love to get out in the dirt. I love to see things grow. And so this will be from the garden series. Several years ago, we had a sermon called, If You're Going to Sow, You've Got to Hoe. And last year it was Making Potatoes. Anybody remember that? This year it's Good Dirt. I want you to say Good Dirt. Now, I was out to have breakfast yesterday after prayer meeting with my brothers that come to prayer meeting on Saturday morning, and we went to have breakfast and we were talking about dirt. It wasn't just a coincidence we were talking about it. I knew what I was going to preach, and I was showing them pictures of the dirt. Been working the dirt, and God just gives you messages that are applicable in life, and Well, you can get a lot of messages in the garden, right? So today, we're going to talk about good dirt. And Jesus spoke this parable in Matthew chapter 13. We know it as the parable of the sower. So today, I want us to look at the parable of the sower, but maybe in a different way than we've looked at it before. So if you're in Matthew chapter 13, I want to read to you verses 1 through 8. They may be familiar to you. But understand, Jesus spoke in these parables, and he spoke in parables because he wanted us to be able to apply these parables. The parables are something that represent real life things. In other words, the word parable is made from two words, one para, one bola, and we get the word parable. And para means beside of, and just like a parallelogram or parallel. And bola, we get our word ball from bola. So when you put those words together, parable, it means to throw. Bola is to throw. So what Jesus is doing is he's throwing an identical story beside of something so that we can grasp it. Does that make sense? So when we hear the word parable or see this, so listen to what he says. Matthew chapter 13, it says, "The same day went Jesus out to the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him. And so that he went into the ship and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Now listen, here's the sermon as it starts for him. This is Jesus' sermon. "He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside." Where do they fall? Somebody tell me. Tell me again. Let's make sure everybody knows the first place the seeds fell. Where'd they fall? "And the fowls came and devoured them up." Now that's the first. "Now listen, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Now that was the second kind. Now where did the second kind fall? We say stony places. Now stop immediately. A lot of Christians grow up in church and they know this parable. How many people know this parable? And we know this parable and we say, hey, we know that the seed, some fell by the wayside, some fell in the stony places. And we think the stony places just mean rocky soil. But actually what it's saying is it fell into soil that rock was up under the up underneath. So it didn't have much soil. You see, if you listen to the end of this, it says because they had no deepness of earth. Not that it had rocks in the soil. Some rocky soil is good. But if the soil is right on top of a rock, listen, it's been 90-some degrees for how many days? I live in faith. If you want to come to my house and you want to see where the rocks are, you can be able to look under the surface because when this sun comes up, it heats that soil that's thin and you'll be able to see everything on it dies, right? So it had no deepness of earth. So it's not so much stony places. It's where big stones were under the dirt. So it looks like dirt from the top, but it's shallow dirt, right? So some fell by the wayside. I want you to say some fell by the shallow dirt. I want you to know that because it's not stony places as much as it is shallow dirt. So where did the second kind fall? See, we have it. Now, let's read on. It said, "And some fell among the thorns." Where did the third fall? Now, what fell among the thorns? What are we sowing here? Good. "And the thorns sprung up and choked them." Now, we understand the context of his parable. But listen to the other seeds. "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit." Now, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. The first thing that we need to see today is that as Christians, we have a responsibility to sow. It's the parable of the sower. Do you know who the sowers are? Who's the sower? How many people are Christians in here? Raise your hand. I want you to point to somebody that's got their hand raised. And I want you to tell them you're a sower. If you're a Christian, you are a sower. We're sowers. Every one of us go out every day and we sow something. You know that? We all sow something. How do we do it? Well, we sow it by our actions that we do. Our works and our actions are what we sow. And the result of our actions are the fruit that's yielded from what we sow. Every one of us have an opportunity to sow good things or bad things. As a Christian, you think, well, hey, I went out and I lived for Jesus today. I sowed things for him. Well, that can be debated. It depends on what you sowed. If you sowed righteous acts, then you sowed for him. If you sowed the witness of him, you sowed for him. But a lot of us get caught up in what we want to gain from this world. So we're sowing things that are not things of God. We're sowing plenty, just not his seed. Does that make sense? Biblical references here, and I have a lot of research in this sermon. I won't ask you to turn to every place. You can write down these and look them up yourself, but I want the Bible to be able to validate what we're saying today. It's not just my opinion. Proverbs 6:14 says, "He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord." 6, verse 16 and 19. If you read Proverbs 6, it speaks about seven things that the Lord hates. Has anybody read that piece of scripture? Seven things that the Lord hates. You know what? He describes six of them, and then it says, and the seventh, so we're going to let the seventh stands alone. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I want to know what God hates because I don't want to be doing it. You know one of the things that God hates? Someone who soweth discord. That means they come in among the brethren. That means the people that worship God. That means anybody that would come in a church body or a family group that's focused on God. Brethren, that means saved people. Somebody that comes in and is that complainer, that one that goes and says, "Hey, did you know this is wrong? Hey, did you know this is wrong? Did you know they did this or they said this about you?" Somebody that's in there sowing discord. They're sowing seeds that break up, not put together. God hates that. It's not just, okay, he said don't do it. That's a sin that he hates. We need to pay attention to those, right? Hard to be blessed when you're doing something God hates, right? Matthew, verse 37 of Matthew 13, Jesus said, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." So Jesus always sowed good seed. Another reference, Mark 4:14, "The sower soweth the word." John 4:36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Don't you know that God makes it to where if you go out here and sow good, righteous, sow his seed in the righteous way, then if you reap that, if you're sowing the plan of salvation and somebody reaps it, that means they gain the plan of salvation. They get saved. Don't you know he says you're going to rejoice together. The sower and the reaper are going to rejoice together. Amen. Now, let's break it down and get into the whole sowing process. 2 Corinthians 9:6. "He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." That's a pretty easy principle, right? If I throw a handful of seeds, then I'm going to reap just a small amount. If I sow a bucket of seeds, I'm going to reap more, right? In our lives too. He that soweth sparingly. We get to a point in our lives and we say, we're just not seeing God work. We're not seeing the fruits of being saved. We're not seeing this in our families. We're not seeing it. Well, first thing to do is look and see the quantity of seed that you're sowing, right? Do you expect a field full of fruit if you just cast a handful of seed? Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Gave you an example one time of this. We get perplexed sometimes. We wonder why we get in our life and we look back and we say, well, why is this happening? And why is this happening? It's just like life is just giving me onions all the time, onions all the time. And I want strawberries. I don't want onions. Look at that. This is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. Well, it's a simple principle. A child can understand it. God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You don't sow onions and reap strawberries. They come up, don't they? "For he that soweth to the flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap everlasting." So we see, first of all, that we're supposed to be sowers. Let's get that principle and let's get it concrete in our mind. Number one, we're supposed to be sowers. I want you to tell somebody beside of you, as a Christian, you are a sower. And as sowers, we're supposed to be sowing the right seed. We're supposed to be sowing much seed. We're supposed to be sowing the right seed. So we get all that, right? So now let's look and see where the good seed comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10 is where I'm going to read from. Now listen to the instruction that Paul is giving on behalf of Jesus. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given unto the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Did you hear verse 10? This is what we need to realize. He that ministereth seed to the sower. Who's the sower? Somebody tell me. You need to say, "I am," if you are. Who's the sower?
I am.
Who gives you the seed? God gives you the seed. You don't have the seed. If you're sowing and you're realizing, "I don't know if I'm sowing good seed or bad seed," ask this one question: is this something God gave me? Did my seed come from God? I can look back in my life and tell you a lot of selfish things that I wanted, a lot of time that I spent, and I can tell you that is not God's seed. It was something I wanted. I had my own seed, right? Because I wanted my own fruit. You see, God produces the good seed. He gives it to us, and he causes that seed to grow. And he gives the increase of the seed by letting that seed produce fruit, and the fruit produces more seed that can grow more fruit. God provides the seed. God makes it grow. God gives the increase.
Amen.
That just leaves us with one job. What are we supposed to do?
Sow.
Tell me again.
Sow.
You see, our job is to do something with the seed. That's it. You have one step. Do something with the seed, sow it, and God will do the rest. And that one job sometimes we fail to do, or we do it haphazardly, or we neglect to do it. But there's something to sowing. Sowing's not just casting seed out. You see, the one thing that we need to talk about is where we're supposed to sow the seed. And this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 13 with the parable of the sower. He said in verse 4, some seeds fell by the wayside. In verse 5 and 6, some seeds fell in stony places, but we call that what kind of ground? Shallow dirt ground, right? Verse 5 and 6, some fell in the shallow ground. Verse 7, some seed fell among the thorns. The thorns choked them out. Guess what all three of these places that these seeds were sown have in common? Here's what they have in common. None of these seeds produced fruit. See, you can have the seed, and it depends on where you sow it. Now get this, jump down in the scripture with me. We know God provides the seed, right? We know that we're the sower, but do you realize God could provide the seed, perfectly good seed. We're the sower, we could sow. It's about where you sow. He gave you three places to where you could go through all the same motions and it would produce no what? But verse 8, listen. But some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You see, we see that the only seed in this whole parable that brought forth fruit was the seed that was sown in good dirt. You know how important dirt is? This whole process, the seed, even the seed coming from God, us being sowers, the whole process of fruit depends on the dirt. God's going to give the increase, but do you know what he expects you to do? He expects you to make sure that you have good dirt. That's something he's going to leave you to do. You say, "What do you mean?" See, the only seed that brought forth fruit was the one that was in good dirt. So today, I think we need to understand that this parable is a life lesson. It doesn't say that any of the seed was bad, does it? Did you read in this parable where it said this was bad seed? I didn't see it. It all had the potential to bring forth good fruit. Every single seed that was sown had the potential. It was where it was sown. The seeds needed to be sown in good dirt. So you see, this is a parable about dirt and the importance of good dirt. We always think if someone tells you, hey, do you know the parable of the sower? And we think, yes, that's where God tells us to go out and sow and do this. You know what it's telling us? It's telling us to go work on our dirt. This is a parable about dirt. We know about the seed. We know we're supposed to be the sower. He's not talking about that. Each example he gave, three that wouldn't work, one that would. Three that wouldn't work was bad dirt. The one that would work was good dirt. One of the bad dirt that he had was just no dirt. The next dirt was shallow dirt. The next dirt was thorny dirt. But then the seed that fell in the good dirt, well, it worked. How many of you would like for your life to bear fruit? I asked you that a minute ago. Would you? How many of you would like for your life to bear fruit of righteousness? Amen. Sure we would. Now, how many of you would like to have the peace that comes from a life that's bearing the fruit of righteousness? Amen. Well, we're searching for that peace, aren't we? Then I want to ask you a question. How is your dirt? How's your particular dirt? You say, what do you mean, my dirt? I'm asking you, do you have good dirt? You say, well, where's my dirt? What's my dirt? You see, this is where our sermon's going to take a turn today. We're going to begin to talk about dirt, your dirt, my dirt. Everybody's dirt's different. What do you mean your dirt? Your dirt's your environment. Your dirt's where you're at. Your dirt's where you have to sow. It may be your family, it may be your children, it may be your marriage, it may be your workplace, it may be your friend groups, it may be your neighborhood, it may be your school, it may be your team. Your dirt is your environment. It's where you're going out every day to sow. How about that? You know what God's telling us to do? Work on your dirt. Do you know in all the labor and effort that we put in the gardens, that the farmer puts in there, do you know one of the most important steps is to prepare the dirt? Or all those other things that you spend all those time doing, well, the seeds never have a chance, right? And we're going to make that applicable today because this is the message Jesus is trying to teach. Every one of us have specific dirt to plant in, and it's up to us to work our own dirt, to condition it, to cultivate it, to enrich it, to add depth where it's thin, to weed out the thorns and the weeds and to remove rocks and to water it and to work it. You see, the key to seeing your life produce fruit of righteousness is good dirt and the seed that's sown into it. Of course, you have to go out and sow, but you won't see fruit if you don't sow in good dirt. That's what Jesus' parable is. You won't see fruit unless you go and sow in good dirt. So what, as Christians, do we need to make sure that we are sowing in? Somebody tell me.
Good dirt.
Good dirt. How simple is that? I'll bet I read this parable 20 years and realized it was about good dirt. I was looking at all the other things about it. You see, verses 19 through 23 in that same Matthew 13. Listen to what Jesus says. Back in Matthew 13, our reference verse, reference chapter. Listen to verses 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. See, that's the first kind of bad dirt. The word goes out. Nobody gets it because there's too many other things. That seed lays there. It's snatched away. Verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth it for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, understand this. This is what happens to that dirt that's sown in shallow ground. Doesn't have any root. When the sun comes up, what happens? It burns, it withers, it doesn't have any depth of soil. And then he talks about, lastly, he said, but he that receiveth, or he also receiveth the seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, deceits and riches, choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. A lot of thorny dirt today. You see, you can come in here today, and if you've got thorns all in your dirt, what do you mean thorns in your dirt? I can give you something today from the Word of God. And it can be good seed. But you know that if you leave here and you're so distracted with this, and even now you're distracted, you've got things on your mind that you want to do after this. You're hoping that this service works in your agenda. You're trying to decide whether to do Sunday school or not because it might not work out with your day. So you might give that up, tonight's service. You might not be back for that. You've got this agenda, that agenda, and you're just hoping it all works out so this can happen. And then you've got this to do tomorrow, so this will be on your mind in the morning. And maybe prayer time goes away and this goes away. And maybe you want to witness to this person, but it's just not a good time. And so all these thorns come up, and maybe you have a hobby that requires a lot of your time, or maybe you're just so focused on this money amount that you want to make because that's where your security is, and all these thorns are in your dirt, right? So anytime you come in and you hear the seed and you leave here and you think, man, I need to get out and I need to live stronger for Him, and this is what I need to do, and I'm convicted, and preacher, I'm telling you what, that's about me. Well, you get right back out there and the thorns grow up and they choke all those other things. The seed never bears fruit. There was good intentions until you got back in your dirt. Can I get a witness? Did it ever happen to anybody? But praise God, look at the last part. He talks about the good dirt. He says in verse 23, "But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and 30-fold. Listen to this. But he that receiveth the seed, this is what the parable is about, listen, into the what? Into the good ground. You see, the good ground is the good dirt. The good ground is the good dirt. If you're sowing the dirt, the seed in the good dirt, you see, the good dirt is something that the farmer has to work to get. You see, the farmer has to work the dirt. You can't just go out and throw some seed out. You got to work the dirt, right? Yes. Anybody in here ever grow up farming, or maybe you've got a garden and you like to work out in the dirt? Well, then you know this. You see, we know that there has to be some effort that's put forth, and you say, well, I'm not a farmer. If you're a Christian, you're a farmer. Amen. You know why? The sower is the farmer. You're the farmer. And the sower's job, let me tell you what your job is. You say, my job is to go out and sow. No farmer's first job is to go out and sow. Every farmer's first job is to go out and work the dirt. Is it all coming together? We wonder sometimes why our lives aren't bearing the fruit of righteousness, why we don't have that peace. And you say, we're going out sowing. Well, what farmer goes out and just cast out seed? The first thing they do, we know they work the dirt. How are you working your dirt? You see, it's the parable. We are the sowers. And for every person that's listening today, for every parent that's here today, for those new parents that we're going to have in our baby dedication service, which is in our next service, for all of those, I want to ask you something very important. How's your dirt? Do you have good dirt? Are you working on your dirt to make it deep and rich and fertile and removing thorns that can choke out the seed that God's giving you an opportunity to plant? How's your dirt? Think about your home. Think about the environment that you're sowing seeds in. Think about your marriage. Think about your home where your children are being raised. How's your dirt? Is it good dirt? Deep, where seeds have a lot of room to grow. Plenty of dirt there, fertile area. No thorns, distractions. We know we have things to do, but can you actually sow seed there without some other thorn in your life, some distraction, some of your schedule, some of your agenda not choking it out? You see, if you're a sower, your dirt is wherever you are sowing. You say, where's my dirt, preacher? Wherever you are sowing is your dirt. Wherever you're going tomorrow, wherever you're going today, that's your dirt. Your work is your dirt. Your family is your dirt. Your home is your dirt. Your neighborhood is your dirt. That's where you're sowing. Are you working your dirt? See, our dirt's our lifestyle. I want you to think about your dirt. Does it measure up to God's standard of good dirt? Is it a place where seeds can grow and produce fruit? Is there a strong presence of God so that seeds don't fall by the wayside? Let's think about your families. Think about your homes. Is there a strong presence of God so when the seed goes out and instruction is given by parents, is there a strong sense and plenty of dirt so that seed has room to grow? Or is it just something that may be brought up and maybe we say a blessing sometimes, or maybe we say, you know, God wouldn't want you to do that? Or is it a good fertile place where we're always talking about God? Is it? You know, good dirt is a place where God is the conversation. It's behind this. It's behind this. Hey, we shouldn't be watching that on this TV in this house because this is a good dirt house. We shouldn't be saying that. Don't use that language. Don't talk to them like that. Don't talk about those people. Hey, that's a good dirt place, right? You're constantly weeding it, working it. It's a good, rich soil, right? That way when seeds go out, they don't fall by the wayside. Is it deep enough dirt? So when this good seed is planted in it, it can be talked about. Scriptures can be shared. Spiritual roots can go deep. Or is it just the basic shallow conversations about God? Uh-oh. How deep's your dirt? Is it a house that we know, hey, it's church time, we're going to church, but how many conversations about the truths of God? How many conversations in that deep dirt that you've got at home about the grace of God, about the providence of God, about your eternal security, about God's second chances, about the covenants that God made, about the promises of God? How deep can you go in your household? Would it be awkward now for you to strike up a conversation around the table that was a biblical conversation that talked about how something in God's word that was deeper than just John 3:16? Not taking anything away from that. I'm just saying, how deep is your dirt? Is it a place that you can cultivate good seed? Or is it so shallow? Next, how thorny is your dirt? Is it thorn-free dirt, or is there so many distractions and different interests and hobbies and activities that even when seed's sown, it's choked out before it can grow because everyone's trying to achieve something other than producing godly fruit? Somebody wants to be the best at this sport. Somebody wants to be the best in school. Somebody wants to be the best at work. Somebody wants to be the richest person. Somebody wants to have the most pleasure. Somebody wants to have the most friends. Somebody wants to go to the most places. Somebody wants to play the most video games. Somebody wants to have the best Facebook account. Somebody wants to have the best Twitter account. Somebody wants to have, we can go through the line, right? That's what we spend our times doing, right? Somebody wants to have the most of this, the most of that. That's our thorns, guys. You say, are you preaching against those? None of those things are wrong in their own right. I'm not preaching against those. But they all can become thorns. Everything can become thorns. Does the seed you're sowing in your dirt, your home, even have a chance to be sown and not get choked out before it comes up? How's your dirt? Parents today, you're the farmers. Your homes are the dirt. You're responsible for the environment that the seeds are planted in. You're conditioning it. You're cultivating it. You're watering it. You're weeding it. I'm asking you, do the seeds sown in your house have a chance as it relates to his parable about good dirt? We wonder sometimes why we don't have fruitful Christian homes, but we fail to realize in all of this that it depends on the dirt. I think we need to do some time checking our dirt, right? The seed's always been good. God gave it, right? So let me show you something that follows our same theme today. Do you know that our children, the children that come from us, our children are considered in the Bible, referred to in the Bible, as our seed. Just something, a little wrinkle in your brain. Always have been. From the beginning of Genesis 3:15, listen. It says the descendants of Adam and Eve, they're called their seed. God told the devil When he was talking to the devil, he said, I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. He went on in Genesis 9, and it talks about after Cain had killed Abel. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For God said, He hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Another seed. Our children are seed. In the same way that I held that piece of wheat up, don't you know, that child is your seed. It came from you, parents. You know that? You know what your job is? To plant it. You see, it's supposed to grow. It's supposed to go out in this world and produce something, right? It's supposed to produce more seed. And so it makes a difference. God didn't have you to have that child just so your little life could be fulfilled. He had you to have that child so the world could be changed for Him. Your job is to take that seed, give it back to God because He gave you that seed. You're supposed to sow that seed of a child into good dirt. And so many of us now miss the fact. We're not looking at the dirt. Our homes either are homes that have no dirt, seeds fall by the wayside. They're homes that have shallow dirt, or they're homes that have thorny dirt. And we've quit looking at, see, what's our good dirt? We think we want to do this for our children. We want to give them every opportunity. We want to do this. Are you giving them the opportunity to even be planted in good dirt? Let's think about that. Oh, my. Genesis 4:25, and Adam referred to his seed as, or his children as seed. And Genesis 9:9. God made a covenant with a man named Abraham. He said, I'll establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. In Genesis alone, children are referred to as our seed over 40 times. In Genesis alone. Is our home and our lifestyle the good dirt that a seed needs to grow up and live a righteous, fruitful life to God? Is it? It's the language in our home. It's what's viewed in our home. It's the conversation in our home. It's the agenda in our home. It's hard for a seed to grow up and know they're going to be close to God if the dirt in that home is just occasionally going to go to church and take that seed and let it be planted any deeper, right? The good dirt's got to involve church. Good dirt's got to involve prayer life. Good dirt's got to involve all these kind of things. Good dirt's going to involve that child being involved in some kind of something from a child group to a youth group. A good dirt's going to have that, right? I mean, unless you're sowing something else. Listen to this. This is the success rate of this, and David speaks about this. David said, and I love this, he said, in Psalms 37, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Never seen his seed begging bread. Isaiah 54 says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. What bigger promise do you need? Listen to this. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Do you want your child to succeed and have peace in life? Easy question, parents. Do you want your child to succeed and have peace? Do you think it's going to come from that job or that career you're pushing them from? It's not. Do you think it's going to come from that education you're pushing them from? It's not, even though those aren't bad things. Do you think it's going to come from that sport you're pushing them from? It's not. Listen. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You want to make sure your children have peace? Teach them in the Lord. That's God's promise. How do we miss it? Our children are our seed. What kind of dirt are we sowing them in? I look at the church today and society today, and I see that God's given us children as seed, but we neglected to work on the dirt that we're planting them in. We have to work on the dirt to have good dirt. You see, God warns us back in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, if you don't work on the dirt, they'll forget it. He says you're supposed to be able to remind them, take them places. Let the word be in your house as something that's hung around their neck. Put it on your doorpost so they can see it going in and out. Keep it continually to them. You know what happens to us as farmers sometimes? We neglect the dirt. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in dirt that's neglected. I've got dirt in my garden. Oh, listen. I'm not going to brag. I don't want to do it. It's not about my dirt. But listen, I just like to go out and work it, right? If you look out there now, I took a picture of it this past week. And it looks like sand that's black color because it's fine. And I run that tiller through it and I've turned it under. And through the year, I took leaves and I turned those under. Then I turn it under during the winter and I work it and work it so that when it gets time to plant it, it's good and rich. And then I'll go out and weed it. And I don't like any weeds. And so I'm always hoeing or doing something. And it's just good therapy for me. But I don't like weeds and I like the dirt to be real good and fine. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a part that I didn't plant last year. Just didn't plant that section. I neglected it. And do you know that even though I'm planting something in there this year, that's the only place that keeps growing continual weeds. It's like, what's different about that? Well, you see, something got in there last year when I neglected it. The other didn't because I kept working it, but I neglected it for a while, right? It's like this. God told us this, and I thought this was huge. I saw this passage of Scripture. I want you to understand it. It's what I gave you first. It's in the book of Hosea. Listen to what this instruction in the book of Hosea says, okay? This is Hosea chapter 10. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, verse 12. Reap in mercy. Now listen to this instruction. Really? Ready? Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up your fallow ground. Now, you might be in here right now and you say, I guess fallow means shallow. It doesn't. You might say, well, what does fallow mean? It's an old farming word. He says, break up your fallow ground. Jeremiah 4, verse 3 says, break up your fallow ground. That's twice in the Bible. It says, break up your fallow ground. Do not sow among the thorns. What is fallow ground? Listen, I want to close with this. You see, fallow ground, by definition, is land that's left without crops for a season. It's fallow. Well, do you know, you can't just go back out and plant in that land. You can't just go back out and even plow. You know why? Big weeds grow up. Big thorns grow up. You have to first go back out and weed it, get the thorns out, get all those things out before you can plant it again. Does that make sense? Because you neglected it for a while. Listen, our dirt in our homes, our dirt in our relationships are the same way. You can't say, I'm going to take the summer off. You can't say, I'm going to go work at this place and it's going to require me. I'm not going to be at church every other week, but I'm going to stay just as strong. You're going to have to work twice as hard to stay just as strong. Why? Because anytime you leave something fallow, thorns grow, weeds grow, your dirt gets thin. It's not acceptable to seeds. We have to continually work our dirt. When we neglect it, and some people say, well, I just, you know, took this time and I haven't been doing this and I've got all these things going on. Watch out. Why? You're creating fallow ground. The Bible says, break up your fallow ground. You want run a plow through that thing. Hoe it. Get out there. Work it. Put nutrients in it. Condition it. Why? Because you're sowing seed in it. How cool is the Bible for giving us these examples? You see, we can't take a season off from working the dirt that our children, our seeds are trying to grow in. We have to continually work to have good dirt or the dirt will not be fit to grow our seeds. We can't have fallow ground in our homes. Hosea said, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness among you. Questions in closing. How is your dirt? How's your dirt? As far as the seed that God is giving you, which category does it fit into? Is there just not much dirt there? Is it really shallow? Is it thorny so it's going to choke things out? Or, man, is it good dirt? It's been worked. I mean, if a seed falls in it, it's going to take root. How's your dirt? Do you have good dirt? In all of life, if you're going to set goals, you know what your goal will be? I want to have good dirt. I want to have good dirt. And I'm not talking about a garden. I'm talking about the garden of your life. What would you say I should do, Pastor? Well, it's something I had to do. I realized my children were growing up. I realized I got so misdirected on thinking that what I needed to do was provide for them and work and make sure that I was giving them all these other things that I thought was the most important things and making sure that they were able to participate in everything that they could do. And so I just wasn't as faithful in church as I needed to be. I wasn't directed. My prayers suffered. My actions in life suffered because I thought, okay, I've got small children. I got to make sure that I'm providing. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. So guess what? I neglected my dirt. It became fallow. There came a time where I had to break up my fallow ground. What would you say do? You want good dirt? Break up your fallow ground. Come and recommit yourself to God today as a farmer, as a sower, as a parent, as a worker, as a friend, as a husband, as a wife, as a brother, as a sister, whoever you are. You got dirt wherever you're going back out to. How do you start? You break up your fallow ground by falling before God and just being able to pray and say, God, my seed is too important. I've looked at everything in the world except my dirt. How's your dirt? Is it good dirt? Pray with me today. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word that hits us where we live. I pray, Lord, for anyone in this room today that's never accepted your son Jesus as their Savior. I pray that today they would see their need, Lord. As the seed's been sown and they know that your son died for them, I just pray, God, that they would accept his death, burial, and resurrection and ask for forgiveness. I pray, Lord, today for Christians in this room. I pray, God, that you would let this message ring in our ears and ring in our hearts and ring in our minds, Lord, so that we don't leave here and it gets choked out. I pray, God, today as prayers are lifted up to you all over this room, I pray, God, that we leave from here and we begin to work our dirt. I pray, God, that the homes and families of individuals that leave here today, the dirt is so good to be able to have seeds planted and those children grow, Lord, and they produce fruit. I pray, God, that as each Christian goes out of here today, we focus on that. I just pray, God, that you would put it on our hearts and minds, convict us of it in Jesus' name. Amen.